This is Senator Al Simpson. Those who crank out the old junk mail have found a highly effective way to build up their political and financial bases. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. A greedy direct mail outfit called the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare has sent thousands of letters to our seniors. Their scare tactics tell seniors they're in for one big tax hike just because they hit 65. Of course, the $15 contribution would help fight this terrible injustice. Bah! The mailing set off the outcry for Congress to repeal the Catastrophic Care Act, which we, out of pure political fear, did. These groups don't give two hoots about the tough issues. They do care deeply about money. Their hysterical drivel always asks for more, more, more. Unfortunately, the money is used to pay inflated staff salaries and ever more inflammatory mailings. These outfits send their letters sealed with a clammy tongue of fear. I say we should put the clamps on them. With me on this one, Ted?
Al, it's a free country. Senior citizens have the right to organize and advance their goals. That includes the right to bury old anti-Social Security Simpson under an avalanche of mail because of your opposition to their interests. The particular lobbying committee you're railing against was created in 1982 in the heyday of the Reagan administration's unfair attempt to cut Social Security benefits. In the battle over catastrophic insurance, senior citizens proved their strength again. Once aroused, they questioned the merits of the new insurance program. They angrily denounced the way Congress made them pay for it through the special seniors-only tax we heard so much about. Because of the outcry, the tax is being repealed, and the benefits will be drastically cut back. The whole issue was a major setback and an embarrassment for both Congress and the White House. Face reality, Al. You can't just stand there blaming the messenger for bringing the bad news from all those senior citizens. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Human Rights in China. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A courageous Chinese dissident has earned a human rights award. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, in a moving recent ceremony, the famous Chinese scientist and dissident Fang Lijue was awarded this year's Robert Kennedy Human Rights Award. At a time when the walls of tyranny are crumbling and tumbling in Eastern Europe, Fang reminds us that human rights are still denied in many lands. Fang is a scholar, scientist, and teacher. He's called the Sakharov of China for his stand on human rights. For years, he's been an inspiration to the young, urging students to speak out. After the terror in Tiananmen Square, he sought refuge in the U.S. Embassy in Beijing, but he's still denied permission by his government to come to the United States. In every land where freedom does not ring, courageous citizens like Fang stand against the dictator's tide. Their lives are testimony to the human spirit, proof that one day soon freedom will reappear in China just as it has in Eastern Europe.
All over the world, Ted, there are great and encouraging signs for human rights. Freedom and democracy seem to be growing by leaps and bounds, except in China. But Fang Lijue's plight serves as a vivid reminder there is still so much work to do. So many were first encouraged by the restraint used by the Chinese government in treatment of the spirited students who demonstrated for reform in Tiananmen Square. The restraint was not exercised for long, and the memory of the bloody massacre of June 4th will be etched in our minds. East Germany has responded so differently to the mounting protests there, and that is most encouraging. But there were earlier threats at a Tiananmen-style crackdown, and many tough old hardliners may be hot to renege on the new changes to protect their own skins. So it is good to recognize the human rights advocacy and the struggle of Fang Lijue in the name of your fine brother, and not only because he deserves the honor, but because the struggle is far from over. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Congress has just approved an ethics reform bill. The plan will also eventually ban honoraria and pay lawmakers a higher salary. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, I think ethics reform is a good, sound idea. I have earned honoraria before and given some to charity. But overall, I think it's a bad practice, one that can be perceived to enable many groups and lobbyists to essentially influence access to the decision-making process. Access should be equally available to those groups that are not able to pay honoraria dollars, and that's what ethics reform is all about. It was not primarily about raising congressional salaries, but that was part of the package. To get ethical congressmen, do taxpayers have to pay a higher wage? I think not. Honoraria will be phased out. I didn't accept the last pay raise, Ted. I give back $12,000 a year to the U.S. Treasury, and I will give this one up, too. How about Congress, Ted? Are we getting rich at taxpayer expense? How serious are we about ethics reform?
Now, once again, Congress tripped over the banana peel of a pay raise. The House pulled the old hidden ball trick, delaying the issue until the last moment, then whisking the pay increase through before a public firestorm of opposition could be ignited. To its credit, Al, the House adopted ethics reform, too, banning honoraria and putting limits on outside income. But with a mounting public outcry, the Senate got cold feet and refused to go along with key parts of the ethics program. Instead, we decided to retain the discredited practice of allowing senators to accept honoraria for speeches, articles, and appearances before special interest groups. That's wrong, Al. There's no honor in honoraria. They're thinly veiled bribes that let special interests purchase access to Congress and obtain favorable treatment in pending legislation. The House did the right thing by abolishing honoraria, Al, and the Senate should abolish them, too. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on cigarette advertising. It's a national disgrace. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time to tackle the tobacco lobby by passing national anti-smoking legislation. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, smoking is public health enemy number one, the leading cause of preventable death. Tobacco causes 390,000 deaths a year. We're not serious about public health unless we give higher priority to eliminating tobacco use. The approach we need is twofold: greater public education against the serious risk of smoking, and tougher steps to eliminate dangerous additives in tobacco products. The tobacco industry spends $2.5 billion a year on deceitful advertising to entice people into smoking. But when citizens know the facts, Al, they're likely to stop smoking or never start. A public education program, including a nationwide counter-advertising campaign, can make an enormous difference for only a fraction the industry spends. It's still a David and Goliath battle, Al, but at least we can do enough to let David have a slingshot.
Okay, but are you going to toss out that foul cheroot of yours? Smells like rolled cabbage leaves. I couldn't agree with you more. Cigarette smoking is a killer habit. Passive smoking is harmful to those around smokers. Healthcare costs related to smoking are up to $35 billion each year. Banning all smoking in a confined area is one thing, airplane and restaurant smoking being more regulated, but legislating what people can legally do in the privacy of their own home is quite another. You chewed bork up on that one, remember? I think that there are other incentives to wean smokers from their deadly habit and even make a few bucks for the federal coffers. Doubling the current tax on cigarettes would raise us about $14 billion through 94. Cigarettes are a discretionary and not a necessary purchase. If the federal excise tax on cigarettes had been indexed for inflation and reflected consumer indexes, the present tax would be 34 cents, not 16. That would slow them up. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. High-minded partisan Democrats continue to hammer President Bush's qualified judicial nominees because they just don't meet their liberal litmus test. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Vaughn Walker is a very well-respected attorney in San Francisco who's been nominated to be a federal judge. He has recently been targeted by homosexual rights groups for representing the U.S. Olympic Committee in a lawsuit. He's a lawyer, Ted, and the U.S. Olympic team was once his client. Ted, lawyers do represent their clients to their utmost ability, regardless of their personal opinions about the case. Walker's client in this case objected to the use of the name Olympics for promotion of an event called the Gay Olympics. Right or wrong, this case does not make Walker anti-homosexual or some homophobe. What are you Democrats going to do to stop this nonsense? Catering to every wailing special interest group, Ted, won't you ever tire of ruining good people's careers without justification just because they're conservative?
Right on, Al. The U.S. Olympic Committee litigation should not be an issue disqualifying Vaughn Walker from the federal bench, and it isn't. What amazes me, Al, is that you can go through a whole face-off railing about the red herring and ignore the real issue blocking the nomination, Walker's negative record on civil rights. President Reagan tried and failed to make him a federal judge last year. Walker ran into trouble because he refused to resign from a club that excluded blacks and women. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy belonged to the same club, but had the grace to resign shortly before his nomination to the court. Walker took a different course. For a year after his nomination, he refused to resign from the club and defended its racist and sexist policies. Eventually, he did resign, but too late. Die-hard defense of discrimination is incompatible with a genuine commitment to civil rights that judges must have if our laws are to be fairly applied. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on free elections in Namibia, a new setback for apartheid in South Africa. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Another African nation has escaped from the shadow of apartheid. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, while the attention of the world was focused on the dramatic events in Eastern Europe, another historic development has been occurring in Southern Africa. In recent weeks, after more than a century of control and domination by foreign powers, especially by neighboring South Africa, the people of Namibia have now conducted free and fair elections. The last vestiges of South Africa's racist colonial rule in that nation are finally being swept away. 97% of Namibians who were registered to vote went to the polls under the auspices of the United Nations. They cast their ballots for a constituent assembly to draw up a constitution for an independent Namibia. As the United Nations Special Representative observed, the world's youngest democracy has given the rest of the world a shining lesson in freedom. After decades of reactionary misrule, Al, South Africa deserves credit for relenting and letting Namibia be free.
You say South Africa deserves credit? I'm on the floor of the studio here, Ted. I agree. The U.S. delegation observing the elections in Namibia did support the determination of the U.N. Special Representative that the elections were free and fair. Remember, Ted, the U.S. brokered the peace accord among South Africa, Angola, and Cuba that paved the way for these elections. That peace accord called for withdrawal of Cuban troops from Angola, withdrawal of South African troops from Angola, and elections leading to independence for Namibia. Only part of the work is done, Ted. The Constituent Assembly must now draft the Constitution and set a date for independence. Namibia appears well on its way. But don't forget, Ted, peace and national reconciliation have not yet come to Angola. There remains a lot of work to be done in that corner of the world, and the sanctions you love to impose sure won't cut it. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Congress is once again trying to sidestep a regulation that it likes to impose on those in the private sector and local governments, the Americans with Disabilities Act. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the Senate passed the Americans with Disabilities Act this fall. Led by Iowa's able Senator Chuck Grassley, the Senate plan also requires the Congress itself to comply with the requirements of the bill. Novel. Congress has a way of exempting itself from many of the laws that it creates, but in this case, although the cost will be high, Congress must strive to make its own offices accessible to the handicapped. I sense some legislative monkey business over there in the House side on this one, Ted. There's talk that the House could omit this portion of the proposal, leaving our handicapped vulnerable to discrimination and apathy toward their plight at the congressional level. The battle ain't over yet, Ted. Ready to work with me to urge those liberal Democrat pals to run their own House just like they lay it on the poor citizens?
Al, I'll agree with you that Congress too often fails to practice what it preaches. It's wrong for us to impose burdensome requirements on the rest of the country and then refuse to accept them for ourselves. This time, Al, your sources are misinformed. The House is working in good faith to meet the goal of subjecting Congress to all the key provisions of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Congress should be fully accessible to those with disabilities, and we should comply with the same restrictions prohibiting job bias and other unfair discrimination against the disabled. The only issue, Al, is the mechanism for enforcing these requirements. It's a legitimate question under our system of separation of powers whether congressional offices should be hauled before executive branch agency or federal courts. As long as effective remedies are established to make sure that that law is vigorously enforced, the rights will be guaranteed, the disabled will be protected, and Congress will have to obey the law. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. What does the Bush administration propose to do about cancer-causing pesticide residues in the nation's food supply? It proposes to weaken current standards and stop states from setting stricter standards of their own. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, even an old pro-life, pro-pesticide Al Simpson has to be concerned when the administration tries to further weaken the already weak rules on dangerous pesticide residues on food. President Bush wants to be the environmental president, but his environmental world apparently doesn't cover cancer-causing chemicals used in growing food. Otherwise, he'd never have made those pro-industry, anti-environment proposals to weaken current standards protecting consumers' health and safety. One of his proposals would permit residue levels high enough to cause 10 times the risk of cancer under current law. He also wants to prohibit states from setting stricter standards on their own. Which comes first, Al? Private pesticide profits or public health and safety?
Okay, Ted. Now, as Paul Harvey says in the radio business, the rest of the story. President Bush has a plan that would speed the removal of cancer-causing chemicals from the foods Americans eat. It would also set new standards to assess health risks that these chemicals actually cause. If Congress approves his plan, it will make it easier for EPA to more swiftly suspend the use of hazardous chemicals such as pesticides. And yes, indeed, Ted, in this case, the White House does want to preempt state law. The problem is that they're all so different, making it impossible in interstate commerce to comply with 50 different laws on one chemical. Isn't it common sense for the EPA to have one standard that each state embraces? Let the government do its job here, Ted. They really do work to help, not to injure the health of our fellow Americans. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a bold move by our fine Secretary of Defense. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. My old pal Dick Cheney is really shaking him up at the Pentagon. Waste and the bloated spending practices of old will be hitting the trail. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Dick Cheney made a very courageous and responsible move. He has recommended honest spending cuts for the department he heads, the Department of Defense. Budget pressures and a declining military threat in Eastern Europe have led our thoughtful defense leader to realize that at last it could actually be time to pare back our defenses. Although plans for the eventual cuts he has recommended will be bone deep, I can assure you that Dick Cheney will be most careful not to throw service personnel out on the streets who have signed up for peacetime military service. And yet we all need to be prepared for where the real cuts will fall in 92. In typical Cheney stellar fashion, Dick has faced the problem of Pentagon spending head on. He chose to deal with the problems before overspending and budget gimmickry get to all of us. My hat is off to him, Ted. Why don't you join me in a paean of praise for Secretary Cheney, Ted?
Al, Secretary Cheney is following some famous old advice. When you're about to be run out of town, get out in front and make it look like a parade. For months, the Bush administration and Pentagon planners have been pushing Cold War military budgets while the Cold War collapses around them. The escalating defense spending of the Reagan years was already under heavy downward pressure because of the massive federal budget deficit. Now, with Gorbachev and Glasnost in the Soviet Union, and democracy suddenly breaking out in Eastern Europe, even the most die-hard defenders of runaway military spending are getting the message. We're moving beyond the era of blank checks for the Pentagon. It may well be that 1989 is the last year of Cold War budgets, and that 1990 will be the first year of deep post-Cold War cuts in military spending. It can't come too soon, Al. We have priorities to meet at home, and they've been neglected for too long. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on apartheid in South Africa. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The best hope for ending apartheid is for the United States to keep up the pressure for economic sanctions against South Africa. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, all of us who oppose apartheid welcome the gestures the new South African government has made in recent weeks to release Walter Sisulu and other political prisoners and permit peaceful protests. Because of these developments, some of your right-wing friends are saying the new de Klerk regime deserves a honeymoon and that we should even start lifting our economic sanctions against the racist regime. That kind of talk is unacceptable, Al. Apartheid is a nightmare, not a honeymoon. More than gestures are needed if real progress is to be made in dismantling apartheid. Even the Bush administration now admits that the U.S. sanctions are working. There will be time enough to talk about easing sanctions when the South African government takes concrete steps to end apartheid. Until then, Al, we need to keep the pressure of sanctions on, not take it off.
Ted, George Bush is deeply committed to an end to apartheid in South Africa. Secretary of State Baker has made it very clear that we must strengthen our efforts to end the race-based government there, and we must coordinate the effort with our allies and South Africa's trading partners. Why is it such a shock to you that we would want to maintain a U.S. presence in South Africa and begin lifting economic sanctions, especially since many of us never wanted to put them on to begin with? The U.S. policy is to work with these people, Ted, not abandon them. There have been some encouraging signs. Both sides have toned down their racist rhetoric. The African National Congress even seems to indicate a willingness to negotiate without violence. Let's give the new regime a chance, Ted. So before you lecture on another nation's domestic policy, go straighten up some things in Massachusetts. I still say it's all racism in reverse. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. A new study shows the damaging impact of recent Supreme Court decisions on civil rights. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, last June, the Supreme Court made a U-turn on civil rights. It reversed an earlier ruling and held that a long-standing civil rights statute could no longer be used to remedy racial discrimination in the workplace. Now, a new study shows the harmful effects of that decision. Between the date of the ruling in June and November 1st, 96 claims of race discrimination were dismissed by federal judges in cases where workers were fired, demoted, or harassed by employers because of racial prejudice. When the Supreme Court issued its decision, Al, the Bush administration said, wait and see whether it causes any damage, and if so, how much. Now we have the answer. There's been a great deal of damage, and the ink is barely dry on the court's decision. Convinced, Al? Ready to join me in closing this loophole and banning racial discrimination on the job?
The Supreme Court didn't do a U-turn on civil rights. They made a right turn. The ruling was made to guard against absurd reverse discrimination and unfair quotas based on race. I say that you'd better tend the cows in your own pasture, Ted. What about what you and your leftist liberal pals did to William Lucas, a fine black man that had an extensive law enforcement and judicial background, a man that grew up in Harlem and worked his way up out of the ghetto to become a successful man? Who was it who held him back, Ted? Who stopped him from being a civil rights head? It wasn't me, and it wasn't the Republicans, Ted. It was you and the Democrats saying he wasn't sensitive to blacks. What a charge against a qualified black man. Unfortunately for him, he was a conservative, a Republican, too. This man would be qualified to fill some other job, you scoffed. Perhaps a less important position. I say, ah, put your money where your mouth is, Ted. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. George Bush and Mikhail Gorbachev met out there on a rolling ship in the Mediterranean last week. The outcome may not change the world, but it's sure a good start. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, George Bush did not plan the meeting with Mikhail Gorbachev to try to knock the socks off the world. He did not expect any dramatic decisions to be made or far-reaching treaties to be signed. He simply wanted to sit down and talk, face-to-face, man-to-man, with the leader of the communist world. Such drastic changes taking place, the Berlin Wall crumbling, Poland with a new government, Hungary with its people and new freedoms, and Czechoslovakia loosening the communist ties that kept them bound. Bush gave Gorbachev our national message loud and clear, the message of freedom and hope and democracy, and he presented it to him without all the fanfare and hoorah and media hype of a full-blown summit, Ted. He did it the George Bush way, honestly, straightforward, and right from the heart.
Al, President Bush deserves credit for his summit success. As the old song has it, the weather outside was frightful, but the weather inside was delightful. If that's what it takes to create a good summit, I say let it blow. Among the most important developments was the progress towards an historic arms-controlled doubleheader in 1990, a U.S.-Soviet treaty reducing intercontinental nuclear weapons, and a separate treaty slashing conventional military forces in both NATO and the Warsaw Pact. That brings an important bonus, helping to guarantee that the peaceful democratic revolutions sweeping through Eastern Europe won't be reversed by Soviet tanks. President Bush signaled a further important breakthrough on arms control by reversing his earlier position and announcing that he would go along, after all, with a total international ban on chemical weapons. The only way they could have achieved morale is if they held the summit in Hurricane Hugo. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Senator Al Simpson. When Hong Kong reverts to Chinese rule by July 1st, 97, will China hold up its end of the bargain to respect Hong Kong's rights, or will oppression be the rule of the day? Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the people of Hong Kong are rightly worried about their future. In 1997, Hong Kong will no longer be a British colony. After the recent brutality of Beijing's Tiananmen Square, would this also be their fate in 97? When China and Great Britain signed their joint declaration, Hong Kong was to be a special administrative region of China. The agreement stated that Hong Kong would enjoy a high degree of autonomy except in foreign and defense affairs. How high? Over $5 billion worth of American goods were bought by Hong Kong last year, Ted. Many of our foreign businesses that service the Asian market are headquartered there in Hong Kong. I say we keep a very special watch on the goings-on in Hong Kong well before the year 97.
Now, the massacre in Tiananmen Square and the repression of human rights in China have put a cloud on Hong Kong's horizon. But it's too soon to press the panic button. Hong Kong won't lose its status as a British colony and revert to Chinese rule until 1997. In the meantime, Britain, the United States, and other Western and Asian nations need to support free enterprise in Hong Kong and build democratic institutions strong enough to survive what all of us hope will be a peaceful transition to Chinese rule. One way to help is through the safety valve of emigration to the West. Britain has the primary responsibility, but Prime Minister Thatcher has heightened the growing sense of vulnerability by refusing to relax barriers to British immigration imposed in 1961. Legislation in Congress would raise the annual U.S. ceiling on Hong Kong immigrants from 5,000 to 10,000 a year, but we need to stand ready to do more. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on A United Germany. Tune in tomorrow in the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Is a United Germany in our future? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a political cartoon by Tony Auth of the Philadelphia Inquirer is worth 1,000 words on the dramatic events unfolding in Eastern Europe. A figure labeled History, holding a VCR remote control, is saying, "Oops, I accidentally hit fast forward." As Eastern Europe embarks on far-reaching reforms, few issues are coming at us faster than the question of a united Germany. The matter is primarily one for the two parts of Germany to decide, but unification should only take place in the context of continuing improvement in overall East-West relations. If it's going to happen, the first step must be democracy in East Germany. What's certain now is that if history keeps hitting fast forward, we're going to need better policy and bolder vision. We summoned that kind of leadership before, when the Cold War began, and we need it just as much now, Al, when the Cold War is ending.
You're right about the exciting changes sweeping Eastern Europe, Ted, even if you're dead wrong about the need for bolder vision. Jabbing George again, eh, Ted? That kind of rhetoric makes good headlines, Ted, but not good policy. George Bush is raring and ready, not only to respond to the rapid opening of Eastern Europe, but to work positively with our NATO allies and the Soviet Union. The fast forward, as you say it, in the direction of freedom and democracy in East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland, and Bulgaria gives us all cause to celebrate. These changes are also the potential for great instability or even anarchy. Bush and Gorbachev fully recognize that, and while a unified Germany may surely be a possibility, both leaders recognize that it involves more interests than just those of East and West Germany. Bush pounds the facts, you always pound the table. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on chlorofluorocarbons. They destroy the ozone. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The complex problem of ozone depletion caused by the use of chlorofluorocarbons was not dealt with by Congress in this session. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the Senate came up with a pretty good plan to combat the growing use of the harmful chemicals we call CFCs, but it's yet to become law. Many atmospheric scientists tell us that if we continue to use CFCs and other ozone-depleting gases at the present rate, substantial global ozone depletion will occur. The effect on us, right down here on the ground, is that we get more ultraviolet rays than we ever dreamed of. That means more skin cancer, cataracts, and even reduced crop yields. The plan we worked on in committee is by no means perfect, Ted, but it's a start. It's cutting production of the five worst CFCs, regulating substitutes, putting a fee on imports to encourage use of alternatives. What do you say, Ted? Can you do a little heavy lifting and help us get this one through Congress next year?
Now, long-delayed action on clean air, including protection of the ozone, has finally become the top environmental priority in Congress. You know the problem, Al, because you're part of it. Billions of dollars in special interest profits are at stake, and they won't give up their polluting habits easily. Scientists discovered in 1974 that CFCs were destroying the ozone. The chemicals were banned in aerosols in 1978, but that's all we did. Massive use of CFCs continue in home and car air conditioners, fire extinguishers, refrigerators, and the electrical industry. The crisis escalated in 1985 when scientists found a hole the size of North America in the ozone over Antarctica. Now a long overdue measure to crack down on CFCs is coming before Congress. You talk right today, Al, but will you vote right tomorrow when the polluters turn up the heat? This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the 24 million working families who don't have health insurance. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Business is part of America's growing health care problem, and business has to be part of the solution, too. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Congress adjourned this year without tackling the serious problems facing our health care system. In fact, we've moved in the wrong direction by repealing insurance for the elderly against catastrophic illness. Senior citizens still have at least some protection for hospital and doctor bills through Medicare. But what about working Americans and their families, Al? 24 million have no protection at all because their employers won't provide insurance on the job. 60 million other Americans are risking trouble, too, because their fly-by-night insurance will leave them high and dry and bankrupt if serious illness strikes. Shape up, Al. You can't keep on ignoring facts like these. No other industrial nation in the world tolerates a health care system with so many major gaps. The responsible majority of businesses provide health insurance to workers. It's time to require the irresponsible minority to provide it, too.
Ted, you're going to fall off your liberal hobby horse right on your prat. The bigger picture is that this country has a tremendous deficit problem. The healthy economy is what will one day enable the federal government to have a more generous health care policy. Ours is not a perfect private health care system, but it is full of incentives for business, small and large, to help to provide coverage to employees. The system also tries to encourage business, hospitals, doctors, patients to meet workers' needs. I sure do agree with you, Ted, that the repeal of the catastrophic health care program for our needy elderly was a real mistake. Congress was threatened by a powerful, misguided lobby group. We should not have been cowed. Your ringing pleas for socialized health care are always noble, Ted, but they are so unrealistic and just not supported by the majority of the hardworking men and women in this country. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on recent Senate progress on cleaner air. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. At long last, the Senate Environment Committee has agreed on major revisions to the Clean Air Act. Full Senate will soon be considering this vital bill. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. It should be every person's birthright to be able to breathe clean, fresh air. People in Denver and L.A. should be able to see the Rockies and the L.A. skyline. Congress is finally picking up its big feet it's been dragging for 10 years on this important legislation, Clean Air Bill. Ted, I recently debated and argued this issue in committee for over 10 hours, and it's been similarly debated every year for the past 10 years. This time, thoughtful concessions were made, and most of us are relatively pleased. If all states could be as fortunate as Wyoming, we worked hard on our laws years ago. Our air is good, so are the laws. Hopefully, we will have solid, fair, well-thought-out legislation nationwide. Are you with us, Ted? The northeastern states are players, too, or will you be dragging your size 12-and-a-halves again?
Al, clean air is moving to the top of the agenda. Action on acid rain, smog, and other toxic pollutants in the air will be the first measure before Congress in 1990. Acid rain is a major environmental problem. For years, acid rain has been poisoning our lakes and streams and forests. It's caused by power plants that burn high sulfur coal. belching pollutants into the air that ride the prevailing winds and fall to earth as acid rain. The bill cuts acid rain in half by the year 2000. The polluters have blocked this reform for years, but this is one Clean Air Act that will finally make them clean up their own act. The measure also imposes tough restrictions on automobile exhaust that causes urban smog. It cracks down on chemicals that destroy the ozone layer and contribute to global warming. Take a deep breath, Al, and let's pass the Clean Air Bill fast. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Chinese students and a deplorable presidential veto. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.